versus Ames, Mr. Marsh.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Counsel for the United States. I am Bill Marsh, representing the defendant apparent appellant, Larry Ames. On the occasion of this case, the police in Indiana were looking for Mr. Ames, a state trooper and a local police officer. When Mr. Ames drove into their vicinity, he was immediately arrested for driving without a driver's license. The arrest led to a search of the vehicle he had been driving, which produced a firearm and ammunition. He was a previously convicted felon, so he was charged in federal court with being a felon in possession of a firearm and ammunition. Mr. Ames' motion to suppress was denied by the district court. The parties entered into a conditional plea agreement, which permitted Mr. Ames to bring the denial of the motion to suppress before this court. Your Honor, the district court below erred in finding that the arrest of Mr. Ames was lawful under state law.
You know, let's jump a little bit ahead, because it appears that the Indiana Supreme Court has held in two different cases, Frazier and Paxton, that a person who stopped for a minor traffic violation is effectively arrested, such that the officers can conduct a search incident to the arrest. Given those cases, why is there any doubt about the validity of the search of the Bronco?
Your Honor, I believe those cases do not deal with driving without a license or driving with a suspended license.
But that's a minor traffic violation, is it not? Or maybe even not so minor when you start driving around without a license.
It is, Your Honor, but there is a general statute in Indiana which authorizes the arrest of a person for a misdemeanor traffic violation. That's the general statute, but then there's a specific statute, the one before the court in this case, which deals with the offense of driving without a license. And this is a circumstance, I suggest to the court, in which the specific controls over the general authorization for arrest for misdemeanor is present, but then that is limited by the specific statute which the district court construed, which treats driving without a license different than...
But it does say arrest.
It does say arrest, but...
Arresting officer. So it looks like he's arrested, then he's immediately released, but he is arrested.
Your Honor, that's the interpretation the district court brought to this statute, but that's an interpretation which is not...
That's not an interpretation. That's the word, those are the words used by the statute.
Your Honor, I suggest to the court that the term arrest and custody for Fourth Amendment purposes include not only a traditional custodial arrest, such as the court talked about in the United States against Watson and other cases, but also includes a stop and frisk situation.
Let's say that this wasn't properly a search incident to arrest. Let's give you that. I'm not really giving you that, but for this moment. Given what the officers knew about Mr. Ames, carrying a gun and having threatened to shoot anyone who tried to arrest him, why wouldn't the search of the Bronco be justified as a type of protective frisk that would be authorized by Terry? In other words, to make sure that there were no weapons within Mr. Ames's reach.
Well, Your Honor, I suggest that those cases authorizing the frisk of the vehicle are limited to cases where the individual is closer to the vehicle and to the true Terry type stop. This was was more of a citation stop. In Iowa against Knowles, Chief Justice Rehnquist referred to it as a traffic citation stop, which does not authorize a search of the vehicle, the court held in that case.
Well, you haven't challenged the scope of the search here, the stop.
Your Honor, I'm challenging the search in its entirety.
I don't see a challenge to the scope of the search.
I'm sorry?
I thought the challenge here was only to the stop, that the arrest was improper, violated the Fourth Amendment. But the scope of the search was never challenged.
The challenge, Your Honor, is to the stop or the arrest, however it's characterized, but the only authority to search the vehicle, which was dealt with by the district court, was a search incident to a lawful arrest. So if the arrest was not lawful, then this justification for the search fails as well, and if the search is unlawful in its entirety, there really isn't a scope issue. So we didn't raise the scope issue in that respect.
What about the Illinois arrest warrant?
That was not raised by the government as a basis for the stop. There was only one reference to it in the material. We just don't have enough info. A, was forfeited by the government. B, the district court didn't deal with it. And C, we don't have enough information to know whether it was a warrant which would have authorized an arrest by Indiana authorities. But it's not a part of the case other than that one statement by the officer that at some point in time, anyway, there was an arrest warrant in Illinois. The arrest warrant was not proven up in court.
Well, at some point in time, though, was prior to the stop here.
At some point in time prior to
that, there was an arrest warrant in Illinois.
Yes.
I take it that neither you nor the government got into whether or not Indiana officers are authorized to arrest for Illinois warrants.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Well, there's no question that they would be.
Well, if it was still a valid warrant and if they actually had the warrant, the only reference to that made in the opinion is the officer said that he was told when he made the inquiry 11 days earlier that there had been a warrant for Mr. Ames' arrest.
Well, an Indiana officer would be permitted to arrest somebody on an Illinois warrant, wouldn't they?
If there was, in fact, a valid warrant on that date and the officer had actual knowledge of it, yes, that's true.
Does Indiana have a procedure, as in the Knowles case, for just a citation in lieu of arrest?
Your Honor, I suggest to the court that the procedure is the one found in this statute, which the district court...
How are you answering my question?
I'm answering your question, yes.
Does Indiana have a procedure separate from the arrest for a citation in lieu of arrest?
The statute before the court is the only statute. There's not a separate statute. But this is a citation statute. It's not exactly like Knowles. In Knowles, the officer had the discretion as to whether to issue a citation or make an arrest. Under this statute, the officer only has the discretion to take the individual before a court immediately or release the individual. The individual's from Indiana, they're released on a signature. If they're from out of state, they're released on a...
What do you mean by taking him immediately to the court?
Well, that's the language of the statute, Your Honor. It simply says that when the person is arrested for a misdemeanor and, quote, is not immediately taken to court, then the person shall be released.
So if he is taken to court, that would be an arrest, wouldn't it?
If he is taken to court, that would be an arrest, yes. But in this case, of course, he was not taken to court. If there are no other questions right now, I'll reserve the balance.
What does that provided in Section 4 mean? Is not immediately taken to court as provided in Section 4?
I can't answer that question, Your Honor. I quite frankly don't remember.
But do you think the officer could have taken him off to court?
I believe he could have under this statute, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Heller? That wasn't correct, was it, what Mr. Marsh said? That he couldn't have been taken to court.
He could have been taken to court?
He could not have been.
I assume he
could have. Aren't there defined circumstances in which you can be taken to court rather than released?
I presume he could have been taken to court. That's not the procedure that was authorized in this case. I mean, that was not the procedure that was done in this case, but sure, they could have taken him to court.
How could they? What section authorizes that?
In Indiana Code 930-2-5.
That's the one we're talking about.
That's the one we're talking about. I don't know the statute that shows that he...
Then how do you know that he could have been taken to court? If you don't know the statute.
I don't know the statute that he could have been taken to court, but I know that people can be taken to court.
Yes, but can they always be taken to court, or do they have to be circumstances?
The circumstances usually are that people aren't identifying themselves or they refuse to participate
right.
in the citation
so
process.
Right. So was this a situation in which he could have been taken to court?
Yes.
And why?
As a theoretical matter, anybody can be taken to court.
No. Are you sure that the statute places no limitations on who can be taken immediately to court? Is that what you're saying? Or you don't know?
I don't know.
Do you know what I'm wondering? I'm wondering why the government didn't pursue what might very well have been its best argument, which is that the arrest was justified by the Illinois warrant.
It's true that the officers knew about the
right.
Illinois warrant. And I would speak outside of the record, but the Illinois warrant did not provide for extradition. So at the time, on July 16, when the officers made contact with Mr. Ames, he was under arrest for Indiana code, the driving while unlicensed, but they knew even if they had arrested him on the Illinois warrant, Illinois was not going to extradite him.
How can they know that for certain?
Either the warrant stated it or when they verified the warrant, they asked the question. Somehow I know that information through either an interview with one of the officers prior to our motion to suppress, but they were not going to arrest on that Illinois warrant, so we did not pursue it as a valid basis.
But this is outside the record, you're
yes,
saying?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Okay, but I'm glad to know.
Yes, they did not, at the time, think in their minds we're arresting him on the Illinois warrant.
Thank you.
My name
is Mr. Marsh correct? There is no separate citation procedure in Indiana, as in most states?
I don't know of any separate citation procedure. Officers are given the discretion whether to arrest or whether to cite, and here the officers chose to arrest.
Well, I don't understand you. First you say there is no citation procedure, and now you say he had the choice whether to issue a citation or to arrest. So which is it?
Well, I don't know what the statute providing for citation. I'm sure there is.
Well, he said there wasn't a statute. Neither of you seem that familiar with Indiana law.
Well, I don't know what it is, Your Honor. If the court would like further briefing on that, I should look at Illinois or Indiana state law for that. It was just not something that we pursued at the motion to suppress, because the officers acted consistently with that. This was an arrest. They arrested Mr. Ames at the time. They acted consistently with that throughout their entire contact with him, and they did not ever waffle whether they were going to cite him for it.
I don't understand your argument about how the search could be lawful even if the arrest was not. Isn't that what you argue?
In the context of looking to federal law standards,
yeah, well, I don't understand that. If you have a search incident to an arrest, if that's the justification for the search, don't you have to have a lawful arrest?
Yes.
But isn't that a matter of state law? You're being arrested for a state crime. How can you have is there a federal law of arrest?
Well, if the question is whether we should look at state law or federal law, it's the government's position that federal law, we look at federal law if the question is whether a custodial arrest should be upheld.
But there's no federal law of arrest. Don't you have to determine first whether there's a lawful arrest? That would have to be an issue of state law, wouldn't
right.
it?
The district court's opinion...
Well, what did you say? Did you say I'm right?
You
have to have an arrest that's lawful under state law.
This court's opinion...
Well, answer my question.
It depends on state law... in the sense that there must be probable cause to believe that a state crime has been committed. This court will look at state law to the degree to see whether there's a state crime for which the person could have been arrested. But federal law are the standards that this court will look at to see whether a custodial arrest should be upheld. And that came from this court's decision in Ryan versus County of DuPage, which the district court cited in its opinion.
So what does that mean? What's this federal law of arrest?
Whether the arrest was reasonable under Fourth Amendment standards, whether there was probable cause for
the officer to arrest. No, you just said that whether there was probable cause. Well, why wouldn't that be whether the arrest was lawful under state law?
For this scenario, it is the same. The officers had probable cause.
Well, what's the scenario in which it wouldn't be the same?
In the case that the defense cited of DiRay, where there was a federal misdemeanor arrest statute for which a state officer arrested, the Supreme Court in that case looked to the fact that there was no governing federal arrest statute for that scenario. And since it was not a federal misdemeanor committed in the state officer's presence, there was no authority for the state officer to make the arrest. But here that's not the situation, because this was a state crime for which a state officer made a lawful arrest for probable cause.
Lawful under state law. Now, what would be the situation in which an officer made an arrest that was unlawful under state law, and nevertheless it was a lawful search?
If a state law under a certain scenario has given an individual more protections, such that a state law might have been violated or a state procedure. The government's brief cites some cases where state law was violated in either evidentiary questions, but they did not violate federal standards, and so in a federal
proceeding. That's fine with evidence, but how does that apply to an arrest? How do you have an arrest that's unlawful under state law but lawful under federal law?
I actually cannot.
For a state crime.
Right. I cannot think of a scenario, because this court would look to see whether a state crime had been committed. It would turn at least in as that much on the question of whether a state crime had been committed. So I cannot think of a scenario. In this case, law enforcement had the authority to arrest Mr. Ames for driving while unlicensed in his presence. The plain language of the statute, which troubles the defense, is a statute which contemplates an arrest. In fact, by its very language, it states if a person is arrested, it says release from custody. It also says arresting officer, and it provides for procedures that a person is cited. Mr. Ames' arrest was lawful under the Fourth Amendment. The district court found that whether his arrest was lawful for Fourth Amendment purposes did turn on federal law, and so long as an officer has probable cause to believe that a person has committed a criminal offense, then a custodial arrest might have itself violated state law but does not violate the Fourth Amendment. Mr. Ames does not make the argument that if his arrest was legal, then the search incident to the arrest was not justified. His argument is truly focused on the arrest. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Howard. Mr. Marsh, how much time do we have? A minute?
May it please the court. The DiRay case, which I cited, is the only case cited in the papers in this case, the district court opinion, my brief, and the government's brief, which deals with the exception to the warrant requirement known as the search incident to a lawful arrest. That case is on all fours with this case in standing for the proposition that to determine whether an arrest is, quote, lawful for purposes of applying that exception, state law has to apply. And it's an obvious conclusion, I would suggest. If an arrest is not lawful under state law, the Fourth Amendment cannot expand the authority of state officers to arrest, and therefore it cannot be lawful. cannot be a lawful arrest, and the search incident exception simply does not apply.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Mars. You were appointed, were you not? So we